Welcome to the Caregiver's Best Friend Podcast, where you'll find helpful advice, tips, and information to help you care for your special senior or parent. This podcast is brought to you by Presbyterian Villages of Michigan. Your host, Lynn Alexander.
Welcome, everyone, to our PVM podcast, Caregiver's Best Friend. We're so pleased to bring you latest information, tips and strategies, and all the information about aging well and where we're headed in our society these days. So as a Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer for Presbyterian Villages of Michigan and a former Michigan Cabinet Official on Aging, for the past 25 years, it's been my passion to make sure that folks have the latest news and strategize on how to make the best life possible. We have exciting news today in that our President and CEO, Roger Myers, will be receiving the prestigious Award of Honor from our National Association Leading Age at its annual meeting in Chicago on November 6, 2023. And so today we thought it would be a great idea to have a full conversation, not only with Roger, but also with Katie Sloan, the president and CEO of Leading Age, our national association. Leading Age represents 5,000 nonprofit providers of aging services, along with 38 state partners, and provides us strategizing, advocacy, information, education, and policy advice on how to proceed. So with that, I'd like to welcome Katie Sloan and Roger Myers, our president and CEO, for an interesting conversation today. So, Katie.
Thanks very much.
Yes, you're welcome. So just to get it started, can you tell us a little more about Leading Age and what you do in terms of giving awards and the importance of this award of honor for Roger?
Absolutely. So, you know, Leading Age is, as you've described it, an association of over 5,000 not-for-profit providers of services for older adults. We've been around for about 60 years. And we really view ourselves as the trusted voice for aging services. We cover the continuum. Our members provide services just like PVM does to people in wherever they call home. So it's in residential settings, in their own home or apartment, a lot of community services. And each year, we seek nominations for submissions for our Award of Honor. It's our highest recognition of a leader in our field who is visionary, who is influential, and who has made extraordinary contributions to creating opportunities for older adults to live their best lives. So I am thrilled that our board chose unanimously to give the award in 2023 to Roger Myers for all the reasons that the award represents. And he follows a long, long string of very deserving people. And I'm so glad he is joining that group.
Well, thank you, Katie. We're thrilled on this end as well and appreciate the recognition. And Roger, would you like to say a few words about what this means to you as well as your relationship with Leading Age over many years?
Thank you, Lynn, and thank you, Katie, for joining this podcast. I began my association with Leading Age back in 1980, so I've had a long association with the organization, and it's had a couple different names over the years, but it's the same association, the same values, the same support. And really, since 1980 through today, it has been a very, very important part of my professional career, the various organizations that I've served, and it has continued to grow in its effectiveness in terms of advocacy for our field. So, again, I've been very grateful to what Leading Age has meant to me. And then with regard to this specific award of honor, I'm looking right now at the list of individuals since 1963 that have received this award. And it is indeed humbling to be counted now among this list. And starting in the early 80s, I think I've known just about everyone who has received the award, some more than others. But, you know, I think they would all say that, and I've heard many of them say this, that when they received the award, they were receiving it on behalf of a lot of other folks, colleagues from other organizations, associates, board members from the organization that they served. But again, it's very humbling to be counted now in this company. And I've learned a lot from these individuals. And I hope that in some way I will inspire the next generation of leaders, you know, to do great things in our field. So again, thank you, Katie, and thank you, Lynn.
Yes, and Roger, I do believe that's one of your main traits to your ability to inspire others and mentor younger folks coming into senior living providers. Katie, I'd like to turn it back to you for a minute because I know that throughout the year, and particularly with your annual meeting coming up, that a large part of your focus is on advocacy and policy recommendations. And I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about what the focus will be for this upcoming meeting.
Well, thank you for that. You know, one of our biggest policy priorities right now is workforce, because it has to be. We, you know, facing serious challenges and shortages in our field and up against an increasing number of older adults who will be looking to us and organizations like PVM for services and supports as they age. So there's no easy answer to the workforce challenge, of course, but we are pushing every angle that we can possibly think of to get attention to the dire situation we're in, but also for some creative solutions. So that's a, you know, that's a big priority for us. Another big priority for us is affordable housing. It's a travesty that the number of older adults who are homeless or underhoused is growing pretty exponentially. And so we have been for years and years just pushing that hard rock up the hill to try to get more and more funding to create more housing for affordable housing for older adults. So those are, you know, among a long litany of hospice integrity. Rebuilding integrity into the hospice program is another big priority for us. Nursing home reform, ensuring quality in all nursing homes in the country is another big priority. So we're spread very thin. Yes. From a policy point of view, because our members are do so many things, and our job to represent their interests and advocate on their behalf.
Well, Katie, you've definitely highlighted some of the major focuses for us. And Roger, would you like to speak a little bit to that as well?
Sure. And just earlier this week, with the great advocacy of Leading Age, HUD announced their Section 202 awards. And there were 11 Leading Age members, PVM being one of the 11, that receive funding from HUD. And so we're grateful for that. But as Katie indicated, it is, in spite of the $160 million that was awarded across the country, that's just scratching the surface of what the real need is for affordable housing at the time when the demographics are moving higher and higher in terms of older persons in need of quality, affordable, stable housing. With regard to workforce, that is clearly our number one area of priority and focus, as it is for Leading Age. We have participated in several things that have made improvements. The Larry Minix Leadership Academy that was started many years ago by Leading Age has helped to develop current and future leaders, and PVM has been a big part of that for a long while. I was privileged to be a coach in that program for 3 years. The summer enrichment program that was started a few years ago actually originated with one of our executive colleagues who's now out in Seattle, Erica Thrash-Saul. That has brought in summer interns to our field that are now exposed to what we do, and now several of them are working across the country. And the work of Leading Age with historically black colleges and universities and the United Negro College Fund, I think, has a lot of promise for, again, building workforce. But at the direct caregiver area, we just have so much more work to do to introduce what we are in our field and to make it appealing, not only as maybe a first-time job, but as a career. So I know many organizations, including PVM, are looking at building career ladders and looking to help change folks' orientation, perspective, mindset about what it means to be serving older people. Because it hasn't been as appealing as it could and should be, and we're all about changing that. And I know, Lynn, that's been a big part of what you've made your career for the last 30-plus years doing.
Yeah, thank you, Roger. Absolutely. You just hit on something I was focusing on while you were talking, and that is, as the future of our society, it's so important that we focus on these issues. Almost everyone at some point will need long-term care, or at least assistance from family and friends. And so what I like to tell folks is someday you will be there. So it's important to pay attention. Don't just put this off to the side or be like an ostrich with the head in the sand. Most of the families I know in America are dealing with aging services issues and helping to support their loved ones. And so as we look to the future, we need to really inspire others.
Lynn, this might be a good opportunity to ask Katie to share a little bit about her efforts and the efforts of Leading Age around ageism. And I know this coming Saturday is National Ageism Awareness Day, but Katie, I know that's been something that's been an important area that you've been addressing for a while now.
Yeah, thank you, Roger. 6 years ago, our board identified as the vision for Leading Age an America freed from ageism. And at the time, it was a little bit of a head scratcher for some because it felt as if it was a little bit disassociated from what we do. But the board really recognized that ageism and the extent to which we ignore, disparage older adults in this country stands in the way of just about everything we do. It stands in the way of policymakers really embracing robust and strong and supporting aging policies. It stands in the way of philanthropy supporting aging as a cause. It's certainly, just as you've described, Roger, it stands in the way of workforce issues and people just not identifying working with older adults as a career opportunity. So it's ubiquitous. There's no easy way to tackle this. It's among the isms, but it is something that we as a world, frankly, need to begin to wrap our arms around, particularly as the number of older adults vastly outpaces the number of younger adults, certainly in this country by 2030, but around the world, and in some countries it's already there. So we feel like we're just chipping away at it, identifying kind of what our bite of this big apple is, and talking about it at every opportunity we have when we talk to policymakers, when we talk to foundations, talk to corporations, just raising awareness of how pervasive discrimination and stereotypes against older adults really is.
Very well stated, Katie. I'd like to turn it back to Roger.
Yeah, Katie, I'm glad you mentioned the world. And I know just a few weeks ago, early September, the Global Aging Network met in Scotland, I believe. You might share with the listeners what that is and the role of Leading Age in supporting that Global Aging Network.
Absolutely. So the Global Aging Network was created by Leading Age about 25 years ago. And at that time, it was a department of Leading Age with an advisory group of leaders from around the world. And the purpose really was to bring together the provider voice in conversations about solutions and innovation and idea sharing and knowledge sharing. And quickly, it became apparent that if we were going to become truly a global organization, we needed to separate ourselves from Leading Age. So the Global Aging Network was created. Leading Age manages it. So that's our formal relationship with it. And it is a growing, burgeoning network of mostly provider organizations and associations of providers now in over 50 countries. Who come together face-to-face every 2 years for a conference. And we were just in Glasgow for one of the most, probably the best conference we've had yet, very much a high watermark, for dialogue, for conversation, for learning, for sharing, for building a peer network, and for tackling together some of the sort of thorny issues that we face. So we actually started the conference with a workforce summit and had leaders from various countries around the world really talking about what is our shared challenge and what are some potential solutions and how can we work together to address some of these solutions. But there were workshops and sessions on a whole range of issues. We had the independent expert from the United Nations who is focusing on human rights in older persons as one of our keynote speakers. So it's just an exciting gathering, and we have Global Aging Network hosts monthly webinars with folks from around the world on a range of topics, roundtable discussions virtually throughout the year. It's a great place to create a network and to really learn and get some good ideas. It's also very humbling to see how people in other countries are doing so much with so little. And I always come away feeling both inspired and humbled by what I learned.
So, several years ago, I was privileged with the opportunity to attend, at that time it was called IASA, International Association of Home Services for Aging, now the Global Network, but I attended it when they met in Shanghai. And it was a great experience and built new relationships. And so for those that have an opportunity in the future to participate in any of the Global Aging Network development sessions or the meeting that Katie just referenced, I would encourage folks to do that. We have been involved with at PVM pretty extensively with our colleagues in Canada and have really forged a meaningful relationship, particularly with folks in the area of Burlington, which is a large city outside of Toronto. And they have actually taken some of what PVM has been able to do and have begun to replicate that in Burlington and really in other parts of Canada. So I think there's real tangible benefits that come from these international connections. And of course, there's a lot to be said about what we do across the state of Michigan and across the country with our Leading Age colleagues. But it is a big world out there, and Leading Age is making a difference.
Absolutely. Such important work. We're gaining momentum, have so much more to do. So thank you, Katie and Roger. Do you have one final comment you would like to leave folks with before we close out today?
Well, maybe I'll just make a comment, and then we'll have it wrapped up with Katie. And this is really a few words of appreciation to Leading Age. And looking at it through the perspective of the pandemic. And I know that in many ways we've moved on from the pandemic, but in some other ways we haven't, because I think a lot of what occurred is still, in our heads and our hearts. And but the impact that Leading Age had in all of its members from the very beginning was extremely helpful, more than helpful. I'm not sure how the field would have made it through as well as we did, and there were definitely ups and downs, but we made it through, and it was really with, the great, great, great assistance of our Leading Age colleagues, both the staff of the association and how they connected members, week to week, sometimes day to day, with changing emergency rules and new guidelines and just so many things that were changing. And we were all going through this for the first time together and what we didn't know. But, you know, Katie, you know, for you and your colleagues across the country with Leading Age, it made a profound difference that we, in spite of the, like, the worst of times, we knew we had, we weren't in it alone. And so, Katie, on behalf of PVM and everyone that's part of Leading Age, thank you for all that you did and the steady leadership that you provided during the last 3+ years.
Well, Roger, thank you. Thank you so much for those kind words. And, you know, I think the old adage, it takes a village, really applies here because, you know, Leading Age can't do what it does without the strength of its incredible members like PVM. I will have to say you exemplify the best of nonprofit aging services, and that's really a testament to your wonderful leadership. So I just am grateful to you for being part of Leading Age for so many years. I didn't realize it went back so far. And for your continued leadership, you're an exemplar, and we are grateful to have you in our community. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Katie and Roger, for joining us today. We know we're in good hands with your leadership, and many of these examples tell us why that is so. For our listening audience, please stay connected to PVM and Leading Age. There'll be much information on our website, on our social media platforms, and how you can join and help advocate against ageism. I always like to say that our older adults built our cities, protected us during wars, provided school millage votes, and helped create a legacy for generations to come. And so we really need to support them and plan for the future for all of us. When I started in this business, I was planning it for others, and now I'm a part of it. So it happens very fast. Be ready, and we're ready to help support everyone. Thank you.
Been listening to the Caregiver's Best Friend podcast, where you'll find helpful advice, tips, and information to help you care for your special senior or parent. This podcast was brought to you by Presbyterian Villages of Michigan. Thank you for listening.